into the sanctuary and saw the tables, he said something that was very concerning to me. He wanted to play poker. So just so you're aware, we're not playing poker, okay? That's down the road, just kidding. What is a vision? What is a vision? Well, if you turn your page to vision, mission, and core values, does everybody have that in front of you? You will see that we have come up with a vision statement, a mission statement, and 7 core values. And what we will be doing over the next number of weeks, actually into March, is preaching through our core values. But today, we're going to spend time on vision and mission. The vision of River Valley Community Church is this. River Valley Community Church's vision is to bring God's redemptive story to our own community and world. Let me read it again. River Valley Community Church's vision is to bring God's redemptive story to our own community and world. Do you know that every single person here this morning has a story? Everyone has a story. And your story is important. And your story is meaningful. And your story is powerful. Because every single person that is here today, in fact, every person in the world that is made in the image of God, there is greatness in every person. Thank you for 3 amens. You can cheer yourself on. There is greatness in every person. Amen? Your story is important. How you came to Christ. How the Holy Spirit led. And if you're here today, and you maybe have never made a decision for Jesus, we don't want you to feel uncomfortable here today. We're going to do a bit of sharing around the tables. And maybe your story is, you know what? I'm journeying. I'm on a pathway of faith. I'm finding out who Christ is. And if that's you today, we really want to make you feel at home, and we want to honor that, and we want to love on you, because all of us had to take a journey to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Every one of us. Every one of us is made in the image of God. Vision, the faculty or state of being able to see. Some of the synonyms are eyesight, observation, perception. But having a vision goes beyond seeing in the natural. Leaders need to see the future. Leaders need to anticipate the future. And leaders need to see where they want to take a group of people. A vision is a picture of a preferred future. How many of you, don't answer this, but think about this, have a vision for your life, for your family, for your career? How many of you have a vision of where you would like to be? A vision without action is merely a dream. A vision without action is merely a dream. So as we as River Valley Community Church are praying and thinking and listening and hearing the leading of the Lord and talking and so on and so forth, we are creating steps to take to fulfill the vision of bringing God's redemptive story to people. Before we get into the scripture, but if you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs 29:18. I want to tell you a quick little story that I heard from my son Mitchell. Tomorrow, Becky and I are going to go to Abbotsford for a number of days and see our kids and grandkids. And my son Mitchell shared quite a story to me this week. He had made a connection with a young man in a gym in Abbotsford. 24-year-old young man, and they often met at the gym worked out together, and Mitch had got to know him quite well. But they never took that friendship to a new level, and they had often talked about going out for coffee and talking. He knew that Mitch was on staff at a church, but they never really got in depth of what it looked like to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so this week, Mitch went into the gym. He knows the owner of the gym, and the owner called him over and said, "Mitch, I'm not sure if you're aware, but have you heard about so-and-so?" And Mitch said, "No, I haven't heard." This young man was 24. He said he took his life this week. And so it heavily impacted my son. But I want you to hear this morning, not as anything as guilt. Do you know that your story could be the answer to someone coming to Christ, and could be the answer for someone who is thinking about taking their life? Do you know that? Do you know what? That's exciting. That's not depressing. That's exciting. Our story has power. Our story is about love. Our story is about grace. It's about a God who loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. Our story is powerful. And you know, I said to my son Mitch, all somebody had to do to that young man is say to him, somebody else's opinion does not have to become your reality. Let that float around in your mind for a while. Somebody's opinion of you does not have to become your reality, because I stand here today and you're here today because of the opinion of Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful that he loves us? Proverbs 29:18. The NIV says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision, the people perish." All right? Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need a vision of a preferred future, of our lives, of our life as the body of Christ, as River Valley Community Church. And we need a vision about the church in Medicine Hat. I think the days are coming. I believe the days are coming. I am sure the days are coming where the church will be one in Medicine Hat. Won't that be wonderful? Different venues, different places, but where we work together. So we need a vision. We'll skip the Old Testament other reference there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:18, because I want you to get to discussion around the table. 2 Corinthians 4:18. The Apostle Paul. Let's actually start at verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." Maybe somebody here has lost heart today. Hope, struggling. I pray at the tables you'll find grace and peace and hope. "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly," he's talking about the inner man, "we are being renewed day by day." What's your inner voice say to you? Think about that. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Verse 18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen." That's vision. We fix our vision not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. "For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Romans 8:14, "Those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit." The Holy Spirit living within us guides us into all truth, but it's known truth that sets you free. All right, at your tables, we're going to have a really great time for about 10 minutes, and 8 to 10 minutes. And what I'd like you to do is around your tables, take a moment and share when you made Jesus Lord of your life, when you found redemption. So please, no one monopolize the time. Quickly share, condense it. This is when I came to Christ. This is how I came to Christ. This is what it's meant, and so on. And then there's a little two lines there, maybe for later on. God's vision is, what do you think God's vision is for the world? That's actually, it's pretty easy, but you should be able to think about that. All right, at your tables, go ahead and discuss your redemptive story. And if you haven't made that decision yet, you're on a journey. All right, lots of grace for you.
So let's go back to the vision. We're going to continue on that, just taking a little different perspective on that. But our vision of River Valley Community Church is to bring God's redemptive story to our own community and then to the world. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to focus on two key words that are in this vision statement. And they're easy to miss because, to be honest, I think I missed them when we first crafted this. But it's captured my mind in these two words. The first word in this vision statement that I want us to really hone in on is the word bring. The word bring. And then secondly, the word to. And what I want to do is talk about bring and to through the context of our life groups. So what I want to do this morning is just expand this vision statement a little bit to help us to understand what we mean by taking it into life groups. So I'll read it to you a couple of times. River Valley Community Church's vision is to bring God's redemptive story to our own community and the world as we meet in small, relational groups of Christ followers in homes within the community of Medicine Hat and surrounding area. God is calling us to bring his redemptive story to our community and to the world as we meet in small, relational groups of Christ followers in homes within the community of Medicine Hat and surrounding area. So within that expanded vision, I want to offer you another word that I want you to tuck into your heart and into your mind. And that is the word that I want each one, so I want each one of you as life group leaders, hosts, members of life groups, and all of you who are going to sign up today for a life group. I want you to keep this word in your mind and in your heart, and that is the word outpost. Think of your life group as an outpost. I say that because we want every life group to see yourselves as an outpost, as God's representatives. And you're on the frontier of our culture. You're on the frontier of our society that is filled with brokenness, that is filled with hurt, and that is filled with the concept of being lost and a broken relationship with our Father. And as God representatives, he's calling you to be an outpost, to take that redemptive story to where you are. So to bring that story to your community. If you dig back in history of the early church, you're going to find that small groups started outside of the walls of the local church. And the call for us in 2018 and beyond is to embrace or to return to the purpose right back from the early churches if you read it in the book of Acts chapter 2. That means your group is going to have to be open and willing to embrace new people into your groups, and especially those people who are outside the family of faith. Might be your neighbor, might be your friend, might be a coworker, might be a family member, somebody from your group. But we're asking you to see yourselves as sent ones. Just as Jesus Christ sent the 12 out, think of your life group of 12 or whatever number you are. You're being sent out by the Father to take his redemptive story into lives that desperately need to hear it and to embrace it. So I want to be clear on this. We're asking you as a life group to function as an outpost, to be sent ones on the frontier of our society, and you're bringing God's redemptive story to your community. You see, it's not enough just to invite people to come here. As wonderful as your pastors are, not enough. We have to engage them in their hurt and in their challenges and in their lostness and introduce them to Jesus Christ through the context of our life group. That should make it a whole lot easier on all of us if you come and say, well, Pastor, I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's okay, because we're all called, we're all sent to go and make disciples. And as I thought about it this week, I thought, wow, what better way to do that? So let's focus on Randy. And Randy is shy, and he doesn't have the gift of evangelism, yet I want to fulfill my Father's mandate. The easiest way for me to do that is through my life group, because I'm not doing it alone anymore. I've got 10 or 12 or whatever number around me that are helping me to introduce people to Jesus Christ. As a life group, we're calling you to make sure that as you move from week to week, that you are making ample time for discussion, for questions to be asked, for comments to be made, for wrestling with faith, so that everyone in your life group is engaged. You see, life groups are about conversation. So they're not about lectures or sermons or classes. They're opportunities for all of us to be fully engaged in the Word of God and helping each other come to understand how we can grow. So our vision is to see a growing network of kingdom outposts who are boldly pushing the frontier forward into the darkest cavities of Medicine Hat and area. So you think about your life group for a moment, and you think about hosting that barbecue or having that party or having that study or that event where the broken are comfortable to come and check you out and to figure out what is this thing called faith really mean. Think about how that could influence your friend or your neighbor or whoever needs to know that. So again, I thought this week and thought, what would happen if every life group had an opportunity to work with one broken person? And if one broken person came to Christ this year through every one of our life groups, so you think of that number. That number would be around 15, 16 people would come to Christ. Is that worth it? Do you think the angels rejoice if only 15 people in 1 year come to Christ? Okay, let's expand that. Let's say that person is a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa. Let's say it's a mom and dad. And they got two kids. Mom or dad comes to Christ, and all of a sudden they begin to influence the home, and now the whole family comes to Christ. Now you've got four people in every life group that's come to Christ in 2018. Times up by 15, 16, 20, 25 as we grow, 30 as we grow. Do you think those numbers are worth it? Do you know what would happen? We wouldn't have enough room. We wouldn't be doing this. We'd start filling every chair in this place if every life group took on the mandate of being sent ones, of being spiritual outposts in our culture. You see, God's redemptive story has been written in your life. God hasn't written it in your life just to sit here, but He wants you to take it out there. You're called to bring that story to our communities. So you think about that as you begin life groups this week. And if you're not in a life group, we have a sign-up sheet. We'll gladly place you in a life group. Because your story, as Pastor Mark has told us, your story is worth it. Your story has impact. Your story has influence. And the greatest pain it causes any one of us pastors is when we hear, well, my story... Oh, you know what? There isn't a lot of pizzazz in my story. You know, I came to Christ when I was a child. You know, I don't have a testimony. Stop it. Stop it. Because that grieves the Spirit. Because your story is special to our Father. And He wants to use your story. So what we want you to do around your tables, I want you to focus on one question, because you've talked about your redemptive story a little bit. But what I'd like you to do is take that question that says, how could you use your story to influence a non-believer? So let's focus on that. Now, before you do, there's two other questions there that talk about outposts. Life group leaders, that's for you to take into your life groups tonight or throughout this week. And dial in a little bit on that outpost idea with your life group. But for now, because Pastor Larry's going to come and share in a bit, how could you use your story to influence a non-believer? And if someone is sitting there and saying, I don't know how to use my story, help them. Give them ideas.